First Peter chapter 5, a message that the Lord laid on my heart, and sometimes you may not always understand why God leads and guides the way He does, but maybe this message will be for somebody this evening that can be encouraged by this. Again, I was reading through this passage of Scripture, and I know the Lord used it to encourage my heart. So 1 Peter chapter 5, and I want us to look mainly towards the end of the chapter, and we're going to start in verse number 8. So 1 Peter chapter 5, and I want us to look at verse number 8 in 1 Peter chapter 5. Matter of fact, I want us to actually, I think it will help us as we go along tonight if we would actually start in verse number 6. So maybe we'll start in verse number 6 and read down a few of these verses and then get to the main verse that the Lord used to encourage my heart, and hopefully it'll be a help to you here tonight. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." What is the Bible trying to say to us here? He's trying to say that as we are humble, then God exalts. We've got to have humility. We've got to make that step of humility first, though, don't we? And I think about how that so often we are with the flesh and the old nature and the old man, we're tempted to live in pride. We talked about it this morning, aren't we? That no man should think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, the Bible says. So our thoughts should be thoughts of humility and not of pride, not to boast upon ourselves or think. I noticed we recognize that this morning in Scripture where it said that if a man gets to a place where he thinks he's something when really he's nothing, he's deceived himself, hasn't he? And so he's talking to us and he's encouraging us about humbling ourselves and living in humility and having a humble mind. And then he goes on, what a verse of encouragement here. "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." I would encourage you, I know it's a short verse, you probably hear me say this a lot, I encourage you a lot of times to memorize verses. This is a good one to memorize. If you've never memorized 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7, I would encourage you to put that one to memory and have it in your heart. "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." I love that song we sing in the hymnal, "Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near." The idea there that He can lift the burdens, right? And no matter what burden we face, He can lift the burdens that we face. And then he says in verse number 8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And there's a lot in that verse. Look with me, if you would, at a verse that's connected with it. Verse number 9, the Bible says, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith." Now, who are we to resist? We're to resist the devil, right? He says, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." He gives us a lot of encouragement there in verse 8 and verse number 9. He's giving us really disciplines that we need in order to fight the devil. The devil's one of our enemies, right? He's one of our foes. And there are some disciplines, some encouragements that he gives to us when it comes to this battle that we have against the devil. Notice some of those disciplines that he gives to us. He says we're to be sober. May we be responsible as Christians because we have an enemy that is trying to destroy us. And he is not out to help us. He doesn't love us. He doesn't care for us. He doesn't want us to do God's best for our life. He is out to destroy us. When I had the chance back in October to go to South Africa, our missionaries, the Womacks, they took me to a couple game spots. And had a chance to get out of the vehicle and kind of walk around a little bit and kind of come up pretty close to some of these animals. Now, some of them, you were taking it at your own risk if you got out of the vehicle. But some of these places they took me, I could get out and kind of walk around a little bit. I got a chance to take some pictures by some of the giraffes that were there. And at this one particular game place they took me, there was a fenced-in area where the lions were. Now, the other ones, the lions were just roaming. So, again, you got out at your own risk because the lions were roaming. You didn't know where they were. But they took me to this one spot, and we were able to get out. We were able to look over the fences, and we were able to see the lions. And it didn't take long before we started to hear the roar of that lion. How loud that roar is. It reminded me of this passage of Scripture where the Bible says the devil's as a roaring lion. And he is walking about and he's seeking whom he may devour. And if you know anything about the way a lion treats its prey, it leaves nothing but just a pile of bones. It is out to destroy, isn't it? And that's what the Bible says of the devil. So we've got to be responsible. We've got to be sober. But then he goes on to give us another discipline. He says we've got to be vigilant. So not only are we responsible, but we've got to be alert, don't we? We've got to be alert. Because the devil is out as a roaring lion and he's walking about and he's seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour us and destroy us. By the way, there's an encouragement in Scripture. I've said this before, so you've probably heard me say it many times. I've said this before. There's an encouragement in Scripture in the book of Hebrews. The Bible says that we are to run the race with patience that is set before us. Several different passages in Scripture, the Bible talks to us about how we ought to be running this race. Well, notice the Bible says the devil is walking about as a roaring lion and he's seeking whom he may devour. See, we're to be running in the race, and the devil, the Bible says, is walking as our enemy. May we keep running, right? May we keep running the race so that we can accomplish what God has for us to accomplish. But another discipline that's found in the next verse, verse number 9, he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Another discipline that we have in Scripture is this. We discipline ourselves against our enemy by resisting him. The Bible says that if we resist the devil, he will flee from you. Remember that verse. If we resist the devil, he will flee from you. As a matter of fact, you may remember the passage of Scripture in Matthew where Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And remember when he used Scripture. On three occasions he used Scripture. And then the Bible says, then the devil leaveth him alone. Resisting the devil's temptation and using Scripture to combat and fight the devil. And the Bible says, then the devil leaveth him alone. And then angels came and ministered unto the Lord, didn't they? In the wilderness there. The Bible's encouraging us to resist the devil, and then he will flee from us. The Bible talks about this in the book of Ephesians, that we're not to give a place to the devil. Give no place to the devil, the Bible says. God's Word instructing us not to give the devil any kind of leverage in our life. Not to give the devil a foothold in our life where he can gain access or he can use his wiles. We read about that in the book of Ephesians to defeat us. As a matter of fact, we ought to really go a step further and say, let's not even give him a toehold, right? Don't give him a foothold. Don't give him a toehold. Don't allow him to have any leverage or opportunity to defeat you as a Christian. And so we're given those disciplines in our life. But the main verse that God spoke to my heart about that I wanted to encourage you with tonight is found in verse number 10. I don't know who this may be for tonight. Maybe it be for every one of us tonight. Maybe it be an encouragement for all of us. But the Bible in verse number 10 is going to give to us some thoughts about times in which we will go through suffering. Now, not only are we going to learn from verse number 10 how that suffering can mature us, but we're also going to learn about how that as we go through suffering, when we handle the suffering that we go through the right way, it will also help us to win against the devil. See, so we're not only going to notice and recognize what suffering does to mature us, and it causes to be more like Jesus Christ, but we're going to recognize how that when we respond the right way, it helps to give us victory over the devil. And I want to encourage you with this tonight. Look at verse number 10 with me, if you would. We haven't read this verse yet. The Bible says this in verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. Now, when I read that verse, that speaks to me in this way. God is trying to say to me in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10, there are going to be times in which I will suffer. There are going to be times when myself as a child of God, when you as a child of God, you're going to suffer, because the Bible says, after that ye have suffered a while. Meaning it has taken place. Notice the encouragement he gives to us at the end of the verse though. He says, make you, this is after we've suffered, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Now, can I ask you tonight, what is it that God's Word is trying to tell us that is developed in our life when we suffer? That's what we're going to look at tonight. What is developed in our life when we go through suffering? We've talked about disciplines in our life that we need to apply to fight off the enemy, the devil. And then what is God trying to tell us is developed in our life when we go through suffering? Now, I think you would agree with this statement. Suffering is no fun. It's no fun. Even if we would apply that to just a cold that we had, we would not, physically speaking, we wouldn't want to go through a health struggle, would we? A time of health suffering. It's no fun, is it? As a matter of fact, suffering is not something that we're necessarily praying to God for. Oh, God, help me to suffer today. No, we don't wake up and pray that, do we? But instead, we pray for God's help and strength and guidance throughout our day, that He would give us the wisdom that we need. We're not necessarily asking for suffering. It's not something that we enjoy or something that's fun. But I will say this, suffering is something that is allowed by God in the lives of those who are His people. And not only is it allowed by God, but in many cases, there are reasons or purposes behind why we go through that season of suffering that we may go through. So it's allowed by God, and there's a reason and there's a purpose behind it. But the good news is that as we go through that suffering, God gives us the grace. He enables us by His grace to be able to endure the suffering that we face. Didn't we just hear that in song? Only by His grace. Only by His grace I'm able to go through a season of suffering and have God's help and His grace to enable me and allow me to endure that suffering that I face. And what I want to encourage you tonight are the ways that we see in this passage of Scripture where suffering matures us. Suffering helps us to again become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we are being matured through suffering, it also is teaching us ways that we can win the battle and have the help that we need against the enemy, the devil, as well as we saw that in verse 8 and verse number 9. Can I draw your attention to the four words that we see at the end of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10? And may these four words quickly tonight remind us of how suffering helps to mature us. Would you look at the end of the verse? The Bible says this, "After that ye have suffered a while, make you," what's the first word? Make you perfect. Make you perfect. Number one, I want us to notice tonight that suffering supplies us. Number one, suffering supplies us. You might say, what do you mean by the word supplies? Suffering supplies us with what we need. The word that's found there in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10, the word perfect, has the idea of to be equipped or to be supplied. Now think about that tonight. God's saying, I'm wanting to make you perfect through this suffering. I'm wanting to equip you or supply you with what you need. The word that we could use for that word perfect that helps us to understand what it means is the word restore. God wants to equip us. He wants to supply us with what we need. He wants to get us to the place where from time to time where we need to be restored. I love that song, and I don't have all the words off the top of my head, but I love that song. I've heard it sung so many times. It's the idea of God restoring us as we go through a time of suffering. And the words in the course of that song say, restore my soul in the valley. When I'm going through the valleys, when I'm going through the season of suffering in my life, God, would you restore me? Would you equip me? Would you supply me with exactly what I need? It gives us the picture or the idea of something that is mended when it had been broken. Think about a fisherman that would go out. We read about this certainly in the Bible days, how a fisherman would go out with that net and he would cast that net into the water, and there were some times where that net needed to be mended, didn't it? It needed to be restored. It needed to be back to its normal place of use so that it could be used again. God uses suffering to do this in our lives. He's using it to equip us. He's using it to supply us with exactly what we need to restore to us things that may have been lacking, to even mend places in our life that need to be mended. It reminds me of what the psalmist said in Psalm 81, where David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Now, I understand he's speaking there in the context of asking God to forgive him for his sin, but yet at the same time, he's facing suffering, though, because of his sin, isn't he? And he's saying, God, I need you to get to the place where you restore me to where I used to be. So number one, we said that suffering supplies us. It supplies us with what we need. It restores us. It mends that which is broken. When we feel like that suffering that we are going through is tearing us apart, it's actually mending us or making us more mature. Would you look at suffering that way? That when you feel like this thing that you're going through is tearing you apart or causing you great suffering in your life, it's really mending you or making you more mature, making you to what God wants you to be. And that, why is that? How is that possible? Because as we face suffering, we still have God who cares for us, don't we? Now think about what the Bible just said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. When you're going through suffering, He still cares, doesn't He? When you're going through suffering, He still gives grace. I'm thankful you sang that song tonight, by the way, because God gives grace, doesn't He? And it's only by His grace we can go through these times of suffering that we face. When we're going through suffering, it's maturing us because, again, He still cares. He still has grace to give us. He still has strength. He still has the Holy Spirit who is able to help us and make us whole and make us complete. And at times, yes, suffering is maturing us, and it's changing things in our life that need to be changed. It's mending things. It's restoring things that need to be restored. As a matter of fact, sometimes suffering will restore our priorities, won't it? Have you ever had times where your priorities have gotten out of line? And you went through a season of suffering, and then you started to realize the things that really ought to be most valuable in my life haven't been the case. That hasn't been the case. And as you go through times of suffering, it'll change your priorities, won't it? It'll change your attention. You'll get your attention on things that are of utmost importance when you're going through times of suffering. And that's why a lot of times when people are going through the valleys or they're going through the moments of suffering, that's when they're closer to the Lord than maybe they've ever been before, because it gets their attention on the things of the Lord, doesn't it? It's maturing us every step of the way. If a person that's going through suffering has been wayward, it has a way of changing them and turning things around and getting them to head in the right direction. Maybe a person who's been very apathetic, it starts to wake them up and they start to get an idea of the serious things of life because they're going through moments of suffering. Now, would you take your Bible, hold your place there in 1 Peter chapter 5, and would you take your Bible and look at Psalm 119 for a moment? Psalm 119, and notice what the Bible says in verse number 67. So we're in Psalm 119 and verse number 67. And notice as I read this, the truth that we're speaking of here, of this suffering that we go through and how it supplies us with exactly what we need. Psalm 119 and verse number 67, the Bible says this: before I was afflicted, I went astray. Remember what we said affliction will do, suffering will do? It'll change us, won't it? We may be wayward and it gets us back in the right direction. We may be apathetic and it wakes us up to that which we need to be woken up to. And so he says, before my time of affliction, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. What does the Bible very clearly tell us the psalmist is doing there? The Bible says that affliction is causing him to be restored, isn't it? Affliction is getting him to the place where he should be. Affliction and suffering is supplying to him exactly what he needs. Number one, I want you to understand tonight that suffering supplies us. But number two, would you notice in your Bible now, the next word, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10, it says this: after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. Number one, suffering supplies us. But then number two, establish. Establish. Number two, I want you to notice suffering stabilizes us. Suffering stabilizes us. The word establish that's found in that verse has the idea of making us stable, to make us firm. Now, the Bible speaks of an unstable man. We're talking about how suffering stabilizes us. But the Bible talks about an unstable man. How does the Bible describe an unstable man? It describes him this way: the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. See, God wants us to be stable, doesn't He? He wants to stabilize us, and sometimes He will use suffering to do that, to get us in a place where we are firm and we've been made stable. We must be grounded and fixed and firmly rooted in the Lord. My life verse is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58, which, by the way, is the verse that our young people were memorizing last week at Good News Club. I was blessed to be able to go through. I know I didn't teach it. The ladies taught the verse last week, but I was blessed to be in the classroom as we heard the verse that has become my life verse. What does the Bible say in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 58? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Does that sound like somebody who's stable? It sounds like somebody who's firmly planted. And that's exactly what suffering will do for us. It'll mature us by stabilizing us. Now, can I ask you to look at a few more verses? Would you look at Colossians chapter 2 with me? We're talking about being rooted and grounded in the Lord and the things of the Lord as well. That's what suffering does for us. It roots us and it grounds us in the Lord. Look at Colossians chapter 2 and look with me, if you would, at verse number 7. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 7. The Bible says this, rooted and built up in Him and established. There's the word. Isn't that the word we just used? That suffering does what? After you've suffered for a while, make you perfect? Establish. See, that's what we're reading right there in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 7. We're rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, can I say something about a grounded Christian? A grounded Christian who's grounded and firm and rooted in the Lord and what he believes. He's a steadfast Christian. A grounded Christian is hard to move. May we be Christians that are hard to move. The thought that I'm giving you tonight is sometimes that's going to require suffering. We'll go through suffering so that we can be stabilized and we can be firmly rooted in the Lord, and it'll be hard to move us. Now, that reminds me of a passage of Scripture in the book of Psalm. Would you turn to Psalm 1 for a moment? Now, you've heard this several times today, but I'm going to put you to another test here. I'm going to give you another task here. If you've not memorized Psalm 1, memorize that one. All right, now I've given you a lot of homework today, haven't I? All right, 1 Peter 5, 7, memorize that verse. We gave you some verses this morning you can memorize. Psalm 1, if you do not know Psalm 1, I would encourage you to memorize that psalm. Have it in your heart. 6 verses, you can do it. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 1. It talks about the blessed man. Now let's see how firmly rooted this blessed man is. Let's read it here real quick. Just the first three words. Verse 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You'll notice in verse number 1, the ungodly man has his counsel. And we're not to stand in the way of sinners. We're not to sit in the seat of the scornful, because the scornful man has his seat. The sinner has his way, and the ungodly has his counsel. And the Bible says, as a blessed man, we're not to walk, we're not to stand, we're not to run with those who are ungodly in their path. But then look at what verse number 2 says. But his delight, whose delight? Well, the blessed man. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, as he's meditated in the law of the Lord, as he's rooted and he's grounded himself in the Lord, what does the Bible say will be the result of that? Look with me, if you would, at verse number 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What is the Bible trying to say there? The Bible's trying to say that that's the kind of Christian that's rooted and grounded in Christ, and they are going to be hard to move. Because they're like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And his leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We've got to be grounded and firm in the Lord, rooted in him. And sometimes suffering is required to get us to a point where it stabilizes us. Now, take time, if you would, to turn to the book of Jeremiah. I want you to look at a verse in Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, and look with me if you would when you found Jeremiah 17 down to verse number 8. Jeremiah 17 and verse number 8. The Bible says this, for he, I tell you what, let's read verse 7. I think verse 7 will help us. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. Does that sound like something we've already read? Sure does, doesn't it? That man who's planted by the rivers of water, like the tree planted by the rivers of water, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit, meaning it's always going to produce. Heat is not going to bother it. Drought is not going to bother it. It's going to be always yielding fruit. That's what God wants from our lives, doesn't he? He wants us to abide in him so that we can be bearing fruit. He says that we're to bear fruit, and then we're to bear more fruit, and then we're to bear much fruit. And there's times in our life where, yes, we're going to have to go through suffering so that we can be a grounded and firm and rooted in Christ Christian who is bearing fruit. Have you ever considered that with me this evening? That sometimes God puts you through suffering so that you can bear more fruit? So that you can be purged and you can be prepared to be that fruit-bearing, rooted and grounded Christian. Number one, we said, suffering supplies us. Number two, we said, suffering stabilizes us. But would you look at the next word there in 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 10. The Bible says this, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. All right, that suffering that'll supply us. Establish, it'll stabilize us. And then the word strengthen. The word strengthen. I think you got this one already. Suffering strengthens us. Suffering strengthens us. What did Job say? When Job talked about going through the trials that he went through, he said, God understands what he's putting me through. And when I am coming out of this suffering and when I'm coming out of this trial, I shall come forth as gold, right? God puts you through the fire so that you can be strengthened, right? So that you can come out as gold. We know Ron Hamilton wrote the words of that song, "Rejoice in the Lord. For when I am tried and glorified, I shall come forth as gold." God wants to strengthen us, doesn't he? Now take your Bible, if you would, and look at Psalm 27. Psalm 27, and we're going to look at verse number 14. Psalm 27 and verse number 14. The Bible says this. This happens to be the end of this psalm. And it reminds us of the strength of the Lord in our lives. Psalm 27 and verse number 14, the Bible says this. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And that word wait gives to us the idea of trusting in him. We're trusting in the Lord. Is it possible to trust the Lord even through suffering? Sure. Matter of fact, that's when we many times grow to trust him even more, don't we? But we're trusting the Lord through suffering. And as we've trusted him, the Bible says, he shall strengthen thine heart. As we are trusting in him, as we are waiting on him, he'll strengthen our hearts. Now, I want you to consider tonight with me what suffering will strengthen. Number one, it'll strengthen your faith. It'll strengthen your faith. We just talked about it just a moment ago, just in that last verse. Wait on the Lord, trust in the Lord, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Suffering strengthens our faith. We learn to trust God in a greater way, don't we? And so it strengthens our faith. It strengthens our determination, doesn't it? See, we've made a determination. We are going to stand for the Lord, and we're going to stand firm for the Lord. And suffering sometimes will get us to that place where we'll be more determined than ever to stand faithfully for the Lord. So it will strengthen our faith. It'll strengthen our determination. How about this? It'll strengthen your faithfulness as well. Now we think about that word determination. We said it a minute ago. And the word commitment. And then the word faithfulness as well. We're talking about how that it'll strengthen our determination. And it'll strengthen our commitment. It'll strengthen our faithfulness in spite of the opposition that we are facing. In spite of the suffering that we're going through. God is still going to help to strengthen our faithfulness to him. Have you ever had times where you've gone through suffering and you found that as you go through those seasons of suffering, you found that it's strengthened your faithfulness to the Lord, you've become more faithful to the Lord than maybe what you would have said before you went through that season of faith, that season of suffering. Maybe it's caused you to be more faithful with your Bible reading, right? Maybe it's caused you to be more faithful with your prayer time. Maybe it's caused you to be more faithful in your walk with the Lord. Maybe it's caused you to be more faithful even in being in the house of the Lord, knowing that you need that fellowship and you need that strength from the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. It helps to strengthen our faithfulness. But then I want to draw your attention to the last one. I believe that suffering also strengthens our focus. Keeps our focus on the Lord. Listen, that we would keep our eyes on the Lord. That we would keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. Because as we go through suffering, certainly our eyes need to be on Jesus, don't they? Turn your eyes upon Jesus, the songwriter said. Look full in His wonderful face. That we would turn our eyes on Him and we would focus on Him, consider Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the same, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's keep our focus on the Lord. Let's make sure that we're looking to Him. I want to ask you, if you would, to turn quickly to Psalm 46. Now, I'd imagine that as I find this verse and as I read it, you might even wonder, why'd you take me there? Because I know this verse by heart. We probably could have even quoted it together. But I want you to see it with me tonight. Psalm 46, I believe it's a very familiar verse. A very familiar verse. One that probably many of us know. But I think it's an encouragement tonight when we think about suffering strengthening us. Notice what the Bible says. God is our refuge and strength. He is our refuge and strength. What a strong, mighty, good, great God we serve, right? And it says at the end of that verse, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We don't have reason to fear. Let's not fear. God doesn't want us to have that spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He wants us to be He wants us to understand that no matter what we go through, we can find Him to be our strength. So can I encourage you tonight that when you're going through suffering, not to neglect the source of your help. What is the source of your help when you're going through times of suffering? The source of your help is the strength of God. He is able to give you the help that you need as you go through times of suffering. Can we look at the last word there in 1 Peter chapter 5, as we'll in just a moment bring our message to a close. He says, make you perfect. Suffering is going to supply us with what we need. Establish, it's going to stabilize us. Suffering number three is going to strengthen us. But then you'll notice he says at the end there, settle you. I want you to notice number four, suffering settles us. Suffering settles us. That word settle there at the end of verse number 10 speaks about what is accomplished when we lay a foundation. Something that is settled or something that is laid for us. It really almost reminds us of what we said when we used the word establish. Because when we used the word establish, we talked about something that is firm, something that is rooted, or something that is built up. But then we get to the end of the verse and we use the word settle there, and it reminds us of laying a foundation. What is a foundation? Well, a foundation is a base so that a structure can be built that is sound and secure, isn't it? See, I've got to make sure I build on the right foundation. We read that passage of Scripture where the Bible talks about, and you know it, you're familiar with it. Maybe even our young people that are in here tonight are familiar with this passage of Scripture where the Bible talks about that foolish man who built his house on the sand. That's what he used as his foundation. And what was the result of it? The winds beat upon the house. The storm came and the waves beat against the house. And the Bible says great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. Why? Because the foundation wasn't sound. See, we're trying to use that foundation as a base so that the structure that I'm building on can be secure and it can be sound. Then the wise man builds, doesn't he? And the wise man builds his house on the rock. And as the winds came and beat against that house, as the storm came and it caused the waves of the water to beat against that house, the Bible says it stood firm, didn't it? So as we sing many times on the church bus, or as we've sang many times to children to help them to remember the fact that that foundation is important in their life, we'll sing that third verse and we'll say, so build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like the wise man built his house on the rock, we in our lives as Christians are founded on the rock of Jesus, aren't we? The solid rock, which by the way cannot be moved. And so we've put our foundation on that which is secure and that which is sound. And what do we talk about when we're talking about that foundation being Jesus Christ? We're meaning that's what we build our life upon, right? We build our life upon Him as being the foundation, the foundation that is preparing us for growth, isn't it? See, I laid down the foundation, and then it's preparing for the growth or the building upon that foundation so that it has that sound structure, as we would apply that principle again to a house that's being built. We got to make sure it's sound, it's secure, and then it prepares for growth so that we can build up from that foundation. Matter of fact, the Bible even talks about that in 1 Corinthians, where it talks about the day in which we are going to stand before the Lord. And the Bible talks about no foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Meaning, at first, the first and most important thing as we consider the day that we're going to stand before the Lord is that we are on the right foundation. We got to make sure we're on the right foundation first, and then we're building upon that foundation. We're growing upon that foundation, aren't we? And so the Bible uses the illustration there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 about how the one day our works are going to be judged. They're going to be tried by fire. And the Bible says that which is wood, hay, and stubble that we present to the Lord, as we've built that upon the foundation and we've built that in our lives, that's going to be burned up if it's wood, hay, and stubble. But then he goes on to talk about a second group of material, doesn't he? He says gold and silver and precious stone. And what's going to happen to that gold and silver and precious stone as it's tried by fire? It'll just strengthen it, won't it? And those are the rewards that we will get to receive because we've built on the right, or we've established the right foundation in our life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it prepared us to be able to grow and build on that foundation. We were able to accomplish great things for Him, for His honor, and for His glory. And so what is the Bible teaching us here? That suffering prepares us for growth, doesn't it? It's preparing us for growth. Just like we've laid that foundation so that we can build upon that and we can see growth, that's what suffering is doing. It's preparing you to grow. And so we're not looking at suffering as something that's fun, and we're certainly not going to be asking for it. But at the same time, would you understand the principles tonight of how suffering can mature you? It can help you to grow, to be the Christian that God wants you to be. And that's why there's reasons and purposes behind why we go through the suffering we go through. As we finish here tonight with this word settle, we're building our lives on the Lord Jesus Christ as we go through suffering. And then we're able to see our lives prepared for that growth that God has us to grow with. May it help us tonight to be encouraged. Now listen, there are some disciplines He gives us when it comes to our enemy, the devil. He's laid them out for us. We need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. We need to resist the devil. But then He gives to us some areas in our life with suffering that will develop maturity in our lives. And what are they? Well, God's going to, through suffering, supply us the things that we need. Then He's going to stabilize us. He's going to, as we're rooted and build up in Him, He's going to strengthen us. It'll strengthen our faith and our determination and our faithfulness and our focus on Him. And it will, the Bible says, it will settle us as well. It'll provide for us, lay for us a firm foundation which we're able to build upon and see growth upon as well. Now, I've said this often as I've preached the message before. There's times where God, I believe, leads me to a certain message, and maybe perhaps not even understanding why He did. Maybe tonight this message was for every one of us. I know it encouraged my heart. Maybe it was for you tonight. Maybe right now you're going through a time of suffering and you just need to recognize ways that God's going to mature you through it. Maybe you've just come out of a season of suffering and you really have gone through that battle with suffering and you're coming out of that season and you just needed to be encouraged tonight to see ways in which God's able to mature you through it. Maybe you're about to go into a season of suffering. We don't know what lies ahead, do we? We may be approaching a season of suffering in our life. Well, may this passage of Scripture, may you go back to 1 Peter 5:10 and see how that after we've suffered for a little while, God is able to mature us to be the child of God that He wants us to be. He's not doing it by mistake, is He? He's not doing it by accident. He's got a reason and He's got a purpose for it all. Let's just trust Him through it. Thank you, Lord, for the message tonight.